him tonight. He's worthy. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy, God. We praise you. We praise you. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. Hallelujah. 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 Bless the name of Jesus. Bless the name of Jesus. There's nobody like you, Lord. There's nobody like you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated tonight. Amen. So thankful for what God has been giving us and helping us in the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. Thankful for what Brother Pritt has been doing on Sunday mornings. Amen. Amen. Just teaching us and helping us to understand the awesomeness of being under authority. Amen. It's a powerful thing if you can really get a hold of the authority of God. I was, again, talking with a minister today, and when you get to understand the covering that comes from that anointing, amen, of being under authority, it's a powerful thing, amen. I never want to be out from underneath that, amen. It's a protection. It's a blessing from God. It's a powerful force in our lives when we're trying to do something for the kingdom of God. Amen. So we, a couple of weeks ago, we started on 1 Kings chapter 13 and talking about the importance of obeying the word, God's word. Amen. The importance of obeying God's word. Amen. And being, when God speaks to us, how many has ever had God speak to you about something? I want you to go here, or I want you to do this, or I want you to talk to this person. Amen. And you knew it was a word from God. God spoke to you clearly, and you, there was no denying it. It's important that we follow through with that word. Amen. That we don't let any distractions get in the way or any circumstances rise up that would take us from following what God spoke. Amen. We must understand and follow and believe that it was the Lord. Amen. And we learned about this man of God, is what this prophet was called, and he went to this land and spoke to this king, and this older prophet came to him and kind of deceived him a little bit and told him that, you know, an angel has spoken to me. I'm a prophet as well. An angel has spoken to me, and an angel has told me that you need to come with me and eat with me. But God had spoken to him and said, don't go, stop, don't eat, don't drink, don't do anything, go a different direction than you came. Those were his instructions, other than what God had told him to say to the king. And so we found out that he had been deceived. So we're going to start approximately around verse 18. I think that's where we left off. The cunning old prophet, then he adds proof that he is indeed a prophet. An angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you to your house, that he may eat bread and drink water. So without shame or remorse, the old prophet blatantly lied to the man of God. But his tactic worked. For the first time, the man of God questioned the word of the Lord. Isn't that ironic? It's when the devil tries to get into us and he gets us to question. He brings up doubt in our minds. He brings up, we start to question the things of God, what God has spoken, the word of God. When you begin to question God's word, be careful. Amen. Either you have been deceived or you're about ready to be deceived. So let's look and examine maybe what he could have done. He must have reasoned that the old man was a prophet, and he had seen an angel and had an additional word from the Lord. The man of God knew what God had commanded, but when doubt was introduced, it caused him to question the original word of God. The man of God did not say no to the prophet's offer. He should have stuck to his guns. He should have stayed with what the Lord said. But he didn't. He did not say, I heard the word of the Lord. I know what I heard, and I am staying with the word. See, we need to follow what the Lord says. So unfortunately, the counsel of the old prophet seemed good to the man of God. So he went back to Bethel and his doom. The deception and the lies of the old prophet had their desired effect. They accomplished what he was out to do. And the man of God basically succumbed to the temptation and doubted the original word of God. So before we jump up and down and condemn the old prophet for deliberately trying to cause the man of God to fail, we need to take a close look in a mirror. As much as it pains me to say it, this happens in the church today. It happens on a regular basis. Petty jealousy and envy, and it slips in unnoticed, and we find ourselves despising someone who the Lord is using in his kingdom. Maybe they got a role in the choir that you were after, or maybe pastor passed you up and put someone else in charge of the youth group, and jealousy and things rise up in our own life. And envy. We begin to envy those that are in positions. We must ask God to search our hearts and our motives. Where am I, Lord? Reveal anything that would displease God and discredit fellow Christians, fellow saints of God. Christians, we must never bring a false report against anyone. Amen? We need to be on our knees praying that we do not become just like the old prophet. Jealous of the anointing of God that was upon the man of God. We must be diligent so that we do not travel down those paths. God, keep my spirit upright before you. Keep me humble in I need to exercise humbleness in my life. Amen. I need to trust the Lord in what He has called me to do. Amen. And if you're not sure what you are called to do, God has placed a man of God in your life to help you, to guide you, to help you hone in what His calling is in your life. Don't reject that. Don't reject the ministry that God has placed in this place for your benefit. Amen. We're not here to hurt you. We're not here to one up on you. We're here to come together in unity, to grow in the presence of God so that others can come along and be changed. Let's go to verse 20 through 23. It says, "And it came to pass as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee." Keep going. "But camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of which the Lord did say to thee, Eat no bread and drink no water. Thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulcher of thy fathers. And it came to pass after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back." The old prophet saddled his donkey for the man of God to ride. It was the least that he could do for the man. He had essentially condemned to death. The man of God that left Bethel for the second time, but this time it was in defeat. His disobedience covered him like a blanket of shame. What about you? Have you ever heard the word of the Lord and then disobeyed? Yeah, I've been there. It's not a fun time. If you have, then you know the shame and the disobedience. You may have wondered why you listened to the advice of others when you had heard the word of the Lord so clearly. It was clear to you when God spoke. You were 100% on fire to do it. But then doubt arose. And then others you talked to, and it dissuaded what you were trying to do, and you forgot what God had told you, and you changed your mind and went a different direction. We tend to forget that we have an enemy, the devil, who does not want us to obey God. Church, he doesn't want you to follow. He doesn't want you to keep unity in the church. Amen. He doesn't want you to get along with people around you. Amen. We've got to get a picture in our mind that we've got an adversary that is doing, like I said, that doesn't hardly ever sleep. He never gives up. He's always abounding, always seeking whom he may devour, seeking whom he can get into your spirit. See, who can I get this one riled up against that one? And who can I get this one to pit against that one? And cause division, cause disunity, cause these things to come amongst us. He's seeking, he's devouring. He's looking always. He will do anything he can, using anyone he can. He'll even use you, saint of God. Amen? We must keep our hearts turned toward God. He will get us to doubt the word of the Lord. Amen. And when God speaks a word into our hearts, we must hold fast to it. Maybe it'd be good for us to write it down, the word that God had spoken. And so that we can go back when these times rise up in our life and we can say, no, this is what God has spoken. This is what we're going to do. We're going to follow the word of the Lord. So many times I've seen people speak, God said thus and thus, and we go that direction, and then circumstances rise and things come up and life changes and just all kinds of things come our way, and all of a sudden the will and purpose of God has grown dim, and we've off and left what God had said to do. It's a dangerous road. It does matter what God says. It completely matters where you are and what God wants you to do. Amen. Your location matters to God. He has a will and a purpose, and we must follow that will and purpose. It matters to God where you are going to be a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now. He has a plan. He's given you a plan. Amen. Follow the word of the Lord. Stay in tune with the Lord. Don't make the mistake of the man of God in our story. He heard another word supposedly from the Lord, and he decided to supersede the original command. He did not stop to ask, God, is this the word that I heard from you? Are you trying to tell me something new here? He didn't think to go and talk to God. Amen. There's no harm in our lives when things are not going the way we feel they ought to be going, to go back and press into the throne room of God again and say, God, speak to me again. Reassure me again. What was you telling me? Is this from you? He didn't think those things. The mistake he made in doubting the word of the Lord is an easy mistake to make. It is something that we need to prayerfully be on guard against. And don't seek the word of the Lord without first seeking the Lord of the word. Seek him. Be in his presence in your journey. Amen. We need to stay close to the Lord. And if we stay close, we'll continually hear his voice. His word will continually remind us of what he has spoken. So we need to be very careful and very prayerful. Amen. Prayer makes the difference. Amen. It's an avenue. It's an opening to the throne room of God. It's like the Pentagon of heaven. It's where all the action takes place, in your prayer closet, talking to God, getting instruction from him, getting reminded of his word to you. I'm just asking God. Somebody else is trying to tell me something different. Is this you, Lord? God, are you speaking to me in a different way. And God will, He will speak. He did not go to God in prayer and ask, God, I know what you told me before. And this new word is completely different. Is this word really from you? Always check. Always ask. Always find out when you hear something that wasn't the original. Amen. If Adam and Eve would have went back to the original. But I believe Adam added some things. He was trying to keep her completely away instead of just telling her what God said. Just don't eat of that tree. And when she did, say, you messed up. Now we need to go talk to God. When we make a mistake, it's all right. Just repent. Just go back and tell God, say, I messed up. I did the wrong thing. Don't try to hide it. Mess up, fess up. Trust the Lord. So then there was the lion and the donkey. Verse 24 through 27. It says, and when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast into the way. And the ass stood by him, and the lion also stood by the carcass. And behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass. And they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way, I'm going to have to go to this little bit bigger writing up here because I can barely read that. Therefore, he said, it is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore, the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him and slain him according to the word of the Lord, which he spake unto him. And he spake to his son, saying, saddle me the ass, and they saddled him. This must have been a very curious sight to anyone that was walking and passing by along the road. Here, this dead man killed by a lion, with the lion standing on one side, in the body, and the man's and the dead man's donkey standing on the other side of the body. Imagine this in your mind. Just standing there, not eating, just killed the man, dropped him, just standing there next to him. With the lion standing on one side of the body and the dead man's donkey standing on the other side of the body, the lion had killed the man of God, but did not devour him. And it would have been a very interesting sight to see. The Old Testament times, the lion was a symbol of Judah, and it was also a symbol of power and of truth. The donkey was considered an unclean animal that symbolized many things, among them stubbornness and pride. The lion, the donkey, represented two choices he had when he heard the word from the Lord. When the man of God was following God, commanded, he was walking as a lion in power. When you do God's will, you walk in power and in truth. When you are walking in what God has commanded of you and you're doing the will of God, you're a lion. God's prophecy was given and the altar was split in two. God's power and truth were visible and evident. When the man of God doubted, he became disobedient. He no longer walked as a lion. Instead, he rode on the donkey of stubbornness and pride. So that now they stood on either side of the dead man of God, symbols of the choices available to him. His dead body was evidence of wrong choices he had made. So it didn't take very long for the news about the man killed by the lion to sweep through the streets of Bethel. They probably figured out from the description that it was the man of God who had prophesied against the altar. Here he is. Now the old man hears, the old prophet heard the news. He knew right away that it was the man of God who had disobeyed the command of the Lord. He told his sons to saddle a donkey so that he could go and see for himself. Perhaps he felt guilty for causing the man of God to disobey the Lord. I wonder if he felt any remorse for his actions and his lies. I think that he did. I think he began to reflect maybe upon what he should have been doing, how he should have been the man of God to speak to the altar. But he grew cold in his mission. Verse 28 through 32. It says, and he went and found his carcass cast in the way, and the ass and the lion standing by the carcass. And the lion had not eaten the carcass, nor torn the ass. And the prophet took up the carcass of the man of God and laid it upon the ass and brought it back. And the old prophet came to the city to mourn and to bury him. And he laid the carcass in his own grave, and they mourned over him, saying, "Alas, my brother." And it came to pass after he had buried him that he spake to his son, saying, "When I am dead, then bury me in the sepulchre wherein the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. For the saying which he cried by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel and against all the houses of the high places, which are in the city of Samaria, shall surely come to pass." So when the old prophet met this man of God, he wanted him to stumble in sin. He wanted the man of God to disobey the command of God. He was willing to lie and be a stumbling block that would cause the man of God to fall down. But look at his actions now. Now, he buries the man of God in his own tomb. He requests to be buried alongside the man of God. He knew that he was a better man. His action suggested that he regretted the role that he had played in the death of the man of God. Verse 33. Through 34. And it says, after this thing, Jeroboam returned not from his evil way, but made again all the lowest of the people priests of the high places, whosoever would be consecrated. He consecrated him, and he became one of the priests of the high places. And this thing became sin unto the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off and to destroy it from off the face of the earth.